Oh, there we go. He was kind of in the halfway position, so no matter how much yelling I was doing, it wasn't going to turn this microphone on. But 1 Peter, we're going to begin reading in the passage that Randy was taking us through last week. And Randy, thank you so much. And thank you to our tech team, because it is wonderful being able to hear the teaching from Dearborn Covenant Church from around the corner to around the world. So if there are anybody listening online right now, why don't we as a church say hello? So I do know that there are people, we do hear from time to time from people who are listening. We do hear how some people actually come to our church as a result of first hearing us online. But it was wonderful being able to be in California with Michelle's family and to be able to hear the Word of God preached from Jason and Randy in the past couple weeks. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 begins this way. And let me, before we get there, I want to just show you where we're going first. What Peter is going to outline for us in the passage that we're going to dive into this morning, beginning in verse 22, is that he is talking to people who, something has already happened in their lives. This is past tense. Something has taken place. And so because this has been your personal experience, that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, you have been born again by the living and enduring Word of God, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He is going to then go in and how do we apply who we are in Christ? And there are three things. One is love one another deeply from the heart. The second is he's going to outline some things that we need to rid our lives of, because if we don't rid our lives of these things, it's going to poison our lives and especially our relationships. And then thirdly, he will say, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your faith. So let's begin reading in verse 17 where he says, since you call on a father... You call on one that Jesus says, you know what, call on him as Abba, Hebrew, daddy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Peter is using an occasion of what is going on in their lives to illustrate something that, if you remember earlier in this chapter, he wrote this letter to exiles who were exiled all throughout a variety of provinces, including Pontus and Galatia and Asia. And so they are literally foreigners at that time, but they are also foreigners in another sense. He is saying, listen, you follow another king. You're a part of another kingdom. Your values are different. Your priorities are different. Your mindset is different. Your attitude's different. And then that also makes your actions different. So you are different. You're distinct, which is another way of saying holy. And so they are foreigners, like we have friends who are foreigners in our country, foreigners who come and learn English, but they are also foreigners in the sense of being a part of the kingdom of God. For you know that it was not with perishable things, just log that into your mind for a moment because he's going to bring up perishable again. It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors. What was handed down to us by our mothers and fathers and as far back as Adam and Eve is a very empty way of life if you're living life apart from a relationship with God. How many times do we see in the news or National Enquirer or wherever it might be that, you know, we see these people who seemingly have it all, but they take their lives or they're strung out on drugs for one reason or another. And they're like, you know, we look at their lives and we go, but you've got notoriety, fame, fortune, you know, you've got everything that you could ever want. And yet they don't have the one thing that they need, right? So it's a very, very empty way of life. But we have been redeemed from this empty way of life. We've been purchased, not by things that are perishable, not by things that fade away, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And then he says, through him, Jesus, you believe in God. He's beginning to talk to us about our salvation. You believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have, remember this is past tense, he's talking to people that have already given their lives to Jesus Christ. They have already experienced new birth. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. And I'll continue to read that line. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. It's almost like, okay, Paul lands somewhere, right? His sentence just continues to go on. But the main thought that he is getting to and where he's going to land is that we would love those around us. But before we can do that, he's showing us where we get love from. So he says, now that you have purified yourselves. And if you were to go, okay, dot, 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 how would you finish that sentence? Because when I was reading that the past couple weeks, I thought, okay, now that you have purified yourselves by asking for forgiveness, asking Jesus to cleanse you, asking God to give you a brand new start, you know, I can think of all those ways that you can finish that sentence. And Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. There's this beautiful interaction between faith in God and obeying God that we see not only in this scripture, but throughout the scriptures. I'm going to highlight some for you, and you can put these in your notes. But earlier in his letter, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:2 that he is talking to people that according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, they have been chosen to be obedient to Jesus Christ. They've been selected by God to be obedient to Jesus Christ. We find this ministry report out of Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Do you remember this? Where it said that the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased exponentially. And then another thing that was taking place is that all of these Hebrew priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Interaction of our obedience and our faith. Romans 1:5, and he'll bring it up again in Romans chapter 16, but he says that they were given this gift of calling Gentiles, calling the nations to obedience that comes through faith for his name's sake. And in John chapter 8, 31, verses 32, there's a verse in there that we love to quote, but there's something before it that's really important. He says, and this is something that Jesus was speaking to the Jews who believed in him. He said that if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then, and I think you know this line, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, you are not set free simply by knowing truth. There's an action that precedes the knowing. And it's this holding to the teachings of Jesus Christ. You are not going anywhere from this spot. I don't know if you have ever kind of staked your ground. You're not going anywhere. I'm standing strong on this spot. I'm not going to go to the left or the right. I'm not going to go forward. I'm not going to go back. I am standing right here. This is essentially what he is talking about, that you hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when you hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ, you will then know truth by personal experience. And when you begin to experience that truth in Jesus taking hold of your life, yes, you are holding to the teachings of Jesus, but the teachings of Jesus are beginning to take hold of you. As they begin to take hold of you, you begin to experience a freedom that maybe you've never experienced before in your life. And so we receive that freedom by holding onto the teachings of Jesus, experiencing his truth, and then that truth sets us free. Living out the truth of Jesus is living in obedience to Jesus. John 15:10, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I keep my Father's commands and remain in his life, love. There was this beautiful interaction between how Jesus loved the Father and his obedience to the Father. And, you know, we're reminded in Matthew 28 what the church's great commission is. There is no other mission that a local church, denomination, whatever it might be, there is no other mission than the great commission, which is, therefore go into all the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then do you remember the next line? Teaching them to do what? To obey everything I have commanded. Obedience and faith working hand in hand. What is Peter talking about here? Let me just ask a question. Is believing in God, is trusting in God a command or a suggestion? It's a command. So if you are living out a command, then what are you living in? You're living in obedience. So those who trust in God are actually obeying God. And when you put your faith in God, you are obeying God. The other thing that this means to me is that your willingness to obey God is actually proving you trust God, which is something that James would bring out in his letter. Remember, he talks about this inner working of our faith and works, right? That there is this beautiful relationship, this interaction between our obedience to Christ and our faith in Christ. So Peter will continue in this passage. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, he's talking about the fact that when you now have invited the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, you've got God's presence in you, you are given an ability to love one another sincerely from the heart. He hasn't yet gotten to the command, the main thrust of his teaching. He's telling us, listen, you've been saved, you have been chosen, you are now his child, you now have this natural ability to love one another. And so he says, now that you have the ability to do so, now live it out. How many of you know somebody that has incredible talents? They've been given amazing gifts, right? It may be athletic gifts, maybe intellectual gifts, whatever it might be, and yet they don't apply themselves. You think, man, what a waste of talent, right? What a waste of gifts. We've been given a gift to be able to love. We are able to love. We've been given the ability to love by God himself. And so Peter says, now that you've been given the ability, now live that out. Love one another deeply from the heart. Do you ever wonder why we struggle to love one another? What are some of the reasons? Let me just hear from you. What are some of the reasons you think that we struggle? Why do people struggle loving one another? Because they're not like me. Well, yeah, and I get Denny's point. You know, we tend to like those who are like us, not just people who like us or love us in a reciprocal way, but people who are like us. They've got the same interests that I do. Yeah. We're sinful. And part of that being is that we are selfish. We're so into ourselves. I think some of the other reasons might be maybe you've been burned. You know, and you're just thinking in your mind, but gosh, if I give again, if I do this again, am I going to get burned again? And so that becomes a struggle for us. And so we've been given an ability to love, but we need to live into that ability. Another reason why we may not love deeply from the heart, it could be that we don't actually have the Spirit of God living inside of us and we're not born again. That could be a reason. This morning, you can settle that issue. You can trust in Jesus Christ with your very life and tell him that you want him to live inside of you. You can settle that this morning. And so he goes on and he says this. He says, for you have been born, and he ties it again, this love, he ties it into our salvation, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, that he brings that word up again, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And then he gives an example. He says, for all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And he talks about this experience of being born again, and you probably remember the story of Jesus with the teacher of Israel. The most prominent, well-respected teacher in Israel was Nicodemus. And he has this conversation with Nicodemus late at night, and he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you would be thinking, well, this guy's got it all together, doesn't he? No, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus says, no. it's not being born of the flesh, it's being born of the Spirit. You experience new life through the Spirit of God. God's Spirit brings life. God's Spirit brings rebirth. And he says that, you know, just like the flowers of the field, they're going to fade away. You are not born again by flesh. You are born again by the Spirit of God. And Peter says, and this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, and you've been born again by the living and enduring word of God. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Because this is a part of your past experience, what I want you to live into in the present and in the future is this, that you would love one another deeply from the heart, and that you would rid your life of what can poison your life. And we'll just go through these quickly. He talks about five different things that we ought to rid our lives of: malice, the desire to inflict injury or harm or suffering on someone else, either because of a hostile impulse. It's just like, you know, we're impulsive. We've got to lash out at them. It's either, you know, an impulse or it's deep-seated meanness. There's been no transformation from the inside out. You're just mean from the inside out. Get rid of that. Deceit, it's the act or practice of deceiving. Concealment or distortion of the truth for the purpose of misleading somebody. Get rid of that. It's not going to go well in your relationships if you've got malice in your heart, deceit. Get rid of the hypocrisy. A pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles that you don't really possess. You're play acting, you're playing a part. You're not a Christian, but you're playing one on TV, in a sense. Hypocrisy, get rid of it. Envy, a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to someone else's advantages, success, or possessions. Get rid of it. Slander, a malicious and false statement or report about someone else that is used to defame them. Get rid of that. It's going to poison your life. And I think maybe the best way that we can do that, if someone who's impulsive and deceitful and hypocritical and envious and slanderous, if that's seen as someone who is, in a sense, not someone who is in the faith or someone who is young in the faith and they haven't yet to learn to control their impulses, one of the best ways to be able to grow up in your faith, one of the only ways to grow up in your faith, is the third point that he's going to make. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your faith. You know, it always drives me crazy to see this happening, but you know, it whenever I see 30 or 40 year old people acting like teenagers, I always thought that I might go back into youth ministry, because I get it when youth are being youth, but when adults act like teens, that just drives me nuts, right? But just like that can happen in the natural, it can happen in the supernatural as well, that there are too many people who have known Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years who've never really grown up in their faith. They're still expecting somebody else to feed them. Feed me, Pastor, feed me. Dude, feed yourself. You know, you're old enough. You ought to be feeding yourself. I get it, man. I looked for churches where I wanted the Word of God preached as if it was the authority of God, right? I wanted to be in a place where I was learning and growing, but I did not want Sunday morning to be my only time of eating of the Word of God. Because guess what? If you're not craving the pure spiritual milk, you're not going to grow up in your faith. In fact, God our Father doesn't have any other plan for your growth than His Word. There's no other plan. Getting in the Word. And so I love his illustration, and we have got a lot of young moms in the house, but he says, like babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I was asking Michelle, she remember this, you know, it's been a while because our girls are all teenagers, but I said, you know, how often did they feed? And she was like, you know, sometimes it was 2 to 3 hours, and a lot of times it was at night, and sometimes she was going, you know, I only work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You got the late shift, you know, talking to me. But even through the night, they're craving milk. They're craving, they're hungry. What would it be like if we actually craved the Word of God like a baby craves milk and needs it every 2 to 3 hours? I'm going to try this week, and I'm going to challenge you to do this. I can set alarms on my phone for different periods of the day. I could set as many alarms as I wanted to, actually. And so maybe every 2 hours, I'm going to have a little ding go off. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a passage of Scripture ready. And so when that ding goes off, I'm going to get my text message from God. And I'm going to read one verse at that ding. Because I know all of you, you know, you've got some kind of notification for email. You've got a notification for Facebook. You've got a notification for Twitter. You've got a notification for text messages. You've got a you got a notification for voicemail. Everybody's always pulling out their phones and checking. And they, And so it's nothing for us to, you know, be in conversation with somebody and they'll pull it out and just do something quickly. If that ding goes off every 2 hours, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your faith. Sweet. Pack it away. You have your text message from God. So I want to challenge you maybe this week, set alarms so that you would crave pure spiritual milk, much like a baby craves to be fed every 2 to 3 hours. Because by it, then, we will grow up. And that is the point. We are not meant to stay babies in Christ. We are meant to grow up in Christ, to become mature in Christ. And I love that Peter looks at a relationship with Christ as tasting and taste and see that the Lord is good. Crave pure spiritual milk, because it leads us right into what we're going to do this morning. We celebrate, much like many, you know, if you've been to other churches before, there are many other Protestant churches that will set aside the first Sunday of every month to be able to remember the Lord's table. And when our Lord was together with his disciples, he was having his last meal with them. And they were celebrating Passover, and much like they had celebrated Passover from the time that they were children. And they broke bread together and shared the cup together and began to realize what Jesus was teaching them, that his body would be broken for them, his blood would be shed for them. And we get to celebrate and remember what our Lord did for us in willingly giving up his life for us, shedding his blood for us. And we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. What we'll have you do, we'll have the praise team come on up and begin to lead us in some worship. We'll have you come down the center aisles. We'll begin with the first aisles. We're going to have two people on this side, two people on this side. And you'll receive the bread and then dip it in the cup and then go ahead and partake of it right there. And then go ahead and move back into your seats.